Why don't we finish out on that optimistic note and just hear about your 38-year-old lady?
Yeah, so APL is just such a success story. So we have this 38-year-old woman, comes in with a week of easy bruising, fevers, and headache, goes to the emergency room, pancytopenic in DIC, headache, CT scan shows a small subdural hemorrhage, bone marrow biopsy, and while waiting the results starts hemorrhaging from the bone marrow site. So taking all of this into consideration, the DIC, her age, the relative low counts, and ultimately just the appearance of the blasts under a microscope, there was enough suspicion for APL that ATRA was quickly started.
This was in your ER?
This is in our ER, yeah, yeah. So what we know is that APL used to be uniformly deadly. No one survived APL. You'd treat it like other AML subtypes and everyone died from a horrible bleeding complication. And what we know now is that this has come full circle. This is the most curable and potentially treatable subtype of AML. But the key is you have to recognize it quickly because people can still die before your eyes of bleeding complications. And so the major factor to preventing that from happening is time to getting ATRA. So you have to recognize this disease as quickly as humanly possible and get them their ATRA because that is the major preventer of a bleeding complication.
I was surprised to learn there are many hospital emergency departments or hospitals that don't have ATRA. Has there ever been a survey done to document that? Do you know?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, but I imagine.
Have you heard stories of that, of cases?
Yeah. We report incredible outcomes for APL, you know, like the Lococo paper from the New England Journal of Medicine, which has revolutionized low-risk APL, where we just give ATRA arsenic, no chemotherapy, and almost everyone is cured. Almost everyone goes into remission. It's remarkable. But the real-world experience for APL is probably not this. So I would imagine that real-world experience for APL is a lot of people dying either at home or in emergency departments or in inpatient facilities of bleeding complications before it's recognized that they have APL. So early recognition is key. This is a completely curable disease. You just have to recognize it and act quickly.
What was this woman's white count?
So, you know, this woman had a white count of six or seven. So the way we assess risk now in APL is very simple. If your white count is less than 10, you're low risk. If it's higher than 10, you're high risk. If you're low-risk APL, you should get the Lococo regimen. It's ATRA arsenic. If you have high-risk APL, we still think you probably need some chemotherapy in there. But there's ATRA arsenic plus chemotherapy regimens as the ones we prefer. But there are clinical trials ongoing right now, or so I've heard, looking at just ATRA arsenic or non-chemotherapy regimens, even for the high-risk patients. So we'll see what the future holds.
What about gemtuzumab and ATRA arsenic?
So gemtuzumab is a great effective therapy for APL, and lots of places like MD Anderson have pioneered or worked on gemtuzumab combinations. There are those clinical trials with ATRA arsenic. In the low-risk setting, results are so good from that New England Journal paper, I wouldn't touch it. But yeah, I think it's a very reasonable thing to try in the setting of a clinical trial. I also think gemtuzumab is a really good therapy for those now really rare APL relapse patients. So that's something to consider there.
And this woman now is doing well?
Doing great. She's finishing up her outpatient course of ATRA arsenic, and we will follow her for the next several years, but she's almost certainly cured.
Anything new in the epidemiology of this disease? What was this lady's racial ethnic background and also body habitus?
Yeah. So there is a much higher predominance of this disease in folks of Hispanic or Latino descent. I don't think that's well understood. I know that this is probably something that was carried over from the old world because Spain and Portugal also have very high rates of this disease relative to Europe. And so it's my understanding that the indigenous populations of, you know, Latin America don't have higher rates. So this is probably some genetic propensity that is associated. We don't quite understand this. Now, you can definitely have this disease and not have that heritage, but this patient happens to be a Hispanic woman. And frankly, yeah, our antenna go up a little bit more when we see that demographic with this type of clinical picture. But also that applies to ALL too. So for reasons we don't understand, it's a little bit overrepresented to have ALL in Hispanic folks. So yeah, those are clues, and those are the clues you need to help you decide when and how to start ATRA.